Welcome back to Barking Up the Right Tree with Dr. Tristram and Dr. Livia.
It's been a little while.
That is true. Today, we're going to discuss...
the reason for why it's been a little while.
Yes. Which is because we decided to study for surgery memberships.
Yes.
And to take the exam next year. This is about as solid as it gets for accountability, declaring on the internet, on a podcast, that you're going to undertake memberships.
People are going to want to know in 12 months if I pass or fail.
Unless I weasel out of it. Yeah,
it's only one answer.
I might still weasel out of it. In the beginning, there was definitely some strong emotions. I was very enthusiastic. I was very, very enthusiastic, actually, to do memberships.
Well, the plan started from you, because you said, I've always liked surgery, obviously, but you said, you know, we're going to do this, and then... you paid for a course, and then what did the course say? How many hours of study a week?
Then the reality came crushing home, yes. It really did come crushing home. And then my ability to try to backpedal and not do it was quashed through common sense and the desire to actually do this difficult thing.
Well, the reason you panicked was because 10 to 12 hours a week is a lot for anyone, let alone when... you know, you've got a six-month-old and you're not putting the kids to bed till 8:30. Trying to find that time after 8:30 is pretty challenging.
Yes.
When you have two young kids.
So now we're...
not that it's not challenging for someone who doesn't have kids.
And studying... I don't want to say full-time. But we're studying about 3 to 4 times as much as an art student.
Look, I've never been an art student, so I can't comment on how much they study.
No, I'm joking.
Fortunately, you don't have any art students listening. Though, there may have been vets who did an art student first. They might take personal offence to what you say.
As well they should. Apologies for any art students out there. No, but we are studying a couple of hours each night, which is why the momentum of the podcast really disappeared there for a minute.
Yes.
But that's okay. We're back. We're motivated. Got our ducks in a row. And here we are, which is why... today, we're double dipping and we're talking about learning. And really just, you know, as vets, where none of us are strangers to learning. Obviously, there's a fair amount of learning that goes into becoming vets, wherever you are in your journey at the minute, whether you're studying or you're a vet or you're studying for memberships or you're studying for specialists or fellowships. It's always a bit of a mission and a lot of work.
I think it's hard to get back in once you've been out of the habit.
When
you're in uni and it's just, you know, January, February hits and you're back to uni, it's the same habit. You have to restart. Whereas we have done a lot of CPD over our now 9 years of work, but I haven't done CPD like this, where I've had to consciously sit down every night like we did in vet school to cover content.
Yeah, especially when I think back to uni and I often think, yeah, I can study. I'm good at studying. I know how to study. And then it's easy to say that when you're working and then you don't have to study.
Yes.
And then suddenly you have to study.
Yes.
And you're, this is what this is. Well, I remember now.
Once you pulled the trigger and paid for a course, it's you know, it certainly makes you feel a bit more compelled to commit, because otherwise that money goes into the abyss. And... certainly, there'll be a bit more money to follow when paying for courses and all that sort of stuff. But hopefully, there'll be payoff in the long run with work satisfaction and knowledge.
True. And it is very interesting. Every time we're sitting down to study, I do really enjoy learning what we're learning. So it's good.
That first month was a bit dry. So people who have done it before will not know, but our approach has been to attack FOSSUM and then have other techs on the side. And that first... few chapters is pretty dry. Autoclaves.
Yes.
Sepsis. Or asepsis, I should say. It was hard to keep remind yourself that the more interesting stuff would come.
Yes. Definitely, definitely challenging in the beginning, especially with me poking you every day saying, are you sure you want to do this? Maybe we should quit. Yes. Maybe we should quit now.
Which was a surprise to me, because this was your idea. And then you really... wobbled on the whether or not we should proceed.
Reality came crushing in.
Yes. But sometimes you just have to start. You just have to get going.
That's true. And yeah, it's just about taking the opportunities as they come, I suppose.
I think if I hadn't headed to Officeworks and bought all the pens and highlighters and sorts of things, I think you probably would have quite happily wobbled off the cliff.
That's true.
But now you're very glad that I was going to say pushed you off the cliff, but no, held you back, stopped you from jumping. Don't know
which the way metaphor's that metaphor should jumbled. Go. That's for sure. Definitely a little bit jumbled, but glad we're doing what we're doing. That's for sure.
Mm.
So I guess it's a pretty big thing trying to undergo memberships just because it takes a lot of motivation because there's not a lot of guidance.
Yes, the hardest thing is knowing where to start because at uni they give you lecture notes and slides and all the things you need to read and say, know this, whereas there's certainly guidance on the website, but it's like, here's eight texts that you should reference. And it's like, well, how can I know eight textbooks in a year?
It's very much, here's what we want from you, which is to know small animal surgery.
Mm.
And
then you need to cherry pick. You should figure that out. Yeah.
And here's the resources that you can use, but it is very intrinsically motivated.
Yes.
As in it's like every day you're going to make a decision, sit down, learn the material. It's not, you know, as clear cut as lectures or uni where here's the take home messages. It's a big scope of things to learn. That's for sure.
Yeah. But been enjoyable so far. We've managed to find a few texts online. It's amazing what things you can get for free. This is without being illegal. We found a very legal online website which just gave us two or three texts. You just need a password and a login. And I can't believe that they've given us those texts, but that's been very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is helpful having someone to study with. I don't know how I would have studied if I was sitting at the kitchen table and you were over on the couch watching The Big Bang Theory or whatever you were watching. How would you... You'd be very jealous to not be sitting over there. So
well, once again, when we started the podcast today, I think when we were recording one of the podcasts, we opened with the joke of fun with flags because there's our poster in the background. And so when I went to introduce us today, again, I went to say fun with flags.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's firmly burnt into my skull.
It's a great show.
When it comes to learning, I suppose in uni, very structured, very obvious. But then when you finish uni and you're out in the professional world of being a veterinarian, then there's really self-driven learning and then there's learning on the job.
Yeah.
Which definitely varies from person to person. And up until memberships, with the exception of some CPD that's been, you know, part of the yearly study, most of my learning has been whatever opportunities were around me or provided to me from whatever job I was in at the time. So it is very different to go back to that intrinsic learning of sit down, study, no one saying, hey, you should know how to do this X slap to remove a corn cob. It's just, hey, maybe read about asepsis today for 50 pages.
I think you're at that point though where you do start to get the itch that you probably are about due to commit to something, you know, you start to wonder which way your career should go. We know another married couple that have just done their medicine memberships, and so I suppose they had the same decisions with us, whether what they wanted to do to better their career, and this is, you know, where we've arrived at. I've always had a natural interest in surgery, and so have you, so it's a good one. And it's amazing the things that you learn that you're probably, I don't know whether should know is the right word, but you would think you wouldn't. It's like, oh, I didn't know that, when maybe you should have. There's lots of little interesting nuggets you pick up along the way. So
that is true.
And hopefully it's something you can disseminate among your workplace and they can, you know, benefit from it also. We've got a couple of vets at our clinic who have medicine interests. So one's done medicine members, another in the process of, and then, you know, us doing surgery, and the other vets are all picking their own sort of CPD as well. So surgery was sort of an obvious one for me. For you though, I was a little surprised, I have to say, that you wanted to do surgery.
Why did you want to do surgery?
I've always had a natural affinity at it, in that I'm interested in it, but I'm not being tooting my horn, but I'm quite good at it. I can get through a surgical load quite well, so it sort of made sense. So there's a period I wanted to do medicine because that's what I wasn't good at. So I felt like that's where I should fill the depth of my knowledge. But then if you're not going to enjoy that study, that's probably doesn't make sense to do it. I probably would have hated it.
I think you would have found it interesting.
I would have enjoyed it, but it would have been harder for me to probably do than a surgery, which I have a genuine interest in.
True. Mm. It's something you genuinely want to do.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Mm. Good.
Mm. But it's been an interesting pathway so far. So I don't know, what's your interesting nugget? What have you picked? We've done 2 months of study so far. So we're 2 months into a 12-month commitment. So that makes me feel good that we've not got, you know, too long left to go, as much as we are enjoying it. It's, you know, for all those Australians out there, the block's going to start soon and that's going to kill me when I start to miss the block. But, you know, the sacrifices that's we make. That's
true. We've already missed MasterChef. We're missing Dancing with the Stars. We've got to make sure we don't miss the block.
Yeah.
What about the Olympics, though?
Yes, that is true.
We've got to watch the Olympics.
Mm.
Yeah. What was the question?
If you've had an interesting nugget that you've learned so far. Mine was leading about the ear disease. And I had, you know, otitis externa. And I was like, you know, if it's chronic, it's just because there's, you know, hyperplasia of the skin and, you know, chronic bacterial changes and all those sorts of skin changes. And then read a very obvious note, which was that once you've had it going on for that long, you've probably got otitis media, which is a permanent nidus of infection down there that you need to address, which of course I knew, but, you know, I probably hadn't read it in those words for a while. And that's, you know, I think that'll probably help me a lot in my clinic so far. Or, you know, we've read a bit about fentanyl patches, which has probably changed my understanding of when we should put them on and where we should put them on and all those sorts of things. I'm going to test your memory now. And what are you going to pull? What are you going to pluck out? What have you learned?
I thought you were going to quiz me about fentanyl patches.
Oh, okay.
No. I was going to say, I was just ready to say a joke, which is, well, that was a real pain, wasn't it? No, it wasn't a real pain. It was a real relief.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Mm.
Neither of those were very good jokes. I just found it very interesting to learn about skin flaps and about advancement flaps, which, I mean, it's harder to predict when you'll need them, especially if you work in a clinic that refers a lot of things. But it's good to know that if there is a lump and it needs to be removed, that you have extra tools in your kit to make sure that everything comes together nicely.
Well, I think the other thing I learned a lot was we read a lot about skin grafts, obviously, and I've sort of put them in the realm of that's not something we'd ever be able to do. And obviously, I'm not going to pretend we're, you know, excelling at it yet.
We're ready, you know, now. We've read this much of the textbook. We've read,
you know, a few hundred pages and we're ready. Done. However, it does, you know, you understand the philosophy of it. It does read a lot. You know, if you have the confidence and, you know, a good clinic behind you, I think you probably could be doing skin grafts in your clinic. You just need to have someone who has that knowledge and that confidence to go ahead. And obviously there's always that quote to hear all the time that if you're not getting any, you know, bad outcomes, you're probably not doing enough surgeries. It does happen occasionally. We've had, you know, a week or two ago, we had an outcome which wasn't desirable, or maybe it was a month ago, but in our clinic, but the clinic did nothing wrong. It's just every now and then that happens. You can't avoid every post-operative infection or every, you know, people compliance with owners is not always perfect. Things don't always go completely right.
You said there's a few quotes that everyone knows, and my brain just went to all of the quotes that you hear in uni over and over and over, like beyond the scope of this course.
Oh yeah.
Which ironically we did read in that textbook, in the Fossum textbook about eyes. It really would just go into some things and then say, Maybe call your ophthalmologist. Maybe just refer that one and then you do the next one. Refer that one. And then the other one is, you know, when you hear hoof beats, think horses, not zebras. Yeah. They were like the two quotes that got burnt into my mind.
I think my favourite one was, I think a lot of the surgeons quoted it, that this condition was incompatible with life. But it was always said so calmly when, you know, you're in the real world. Imagine saying to a client, I'm so sorry, your pet is incompatible with life. You couldn't really pick that content, that wording.
But no, we're on the journey and we're praying it goes well.
Yeah, the hardest thing which other parents will understand is finding that time around children. Because that friend of ours who's just done their medicine members, you know, said, when did you study? And, you know, they'd do an hour or so at night time. And then when he had a day off, he could put out a solid 4 to 5 hours at a time, which is not feasible for us, which is nice because it means your weekend still maintains your weekend with the kids. But it means that midweek when the kids go to bed, you've got to find that time. So everyone has their own challenges. And I'm in no way saying that, you know, ours is any harder a job to do than, you know, that other friend of ours who's had to work very hard to achieve their members. But it
congratulations to those who remain nameless.
Yes.
Protecting their identities. They're not dentists. No. They can show their face on TV.
Yeah.
But they are vets, so we can't say their name on podcasts. No. I think that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is... You've distracted me now. You do this to me all the time.
That was my aim.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think the point is, even though we're calling it 2 months into the journey, that it is possible to find the time. So if you're keen and you're interested, then it's definitely achievable. And I hope that translates to being true.
Yes, I hope so.
In a year's time.
I think it's just starting. Just starting the process sometimes.
And then talking your partner off the ledge when he says, actually, let's not for the first month.
Yeah, you really threw me there. I thought we were on board and you really panicked. But I can understand why.
We're lucky the block didn't start in that time. And I would have been
probably wouldn't have started.
Nah, we're good. We're done.
Yep. But that's okay.
Thanks, Scotty Cam, for not getting the block ready to be on TV until later in our studies. That was very thoughtful.
It was. But you've run into, you knew me at uni, obviously, but we weren't together, so you didn't experience my studies and how, you know, I find it very hard to stop once I'm in. I feel like all my free time should be committed to doing that. So you've been quite helpful at reining back my craziness at times.
I just keep thinking of that one Instagram Reel audio, which is, I think it's The Rock and... Kevin Hart, I think. And it's like, are you in or are you out? And he's like, I'm out. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, you're in. That's very much what happened.
Yes, once you had me committed, we were on.
Are you in or out? And I'm like, I'm out. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go sit on the couch. And she's like, I'm sorry,
you're in. You're in. Well, okay. As you said, you can see the value in it. It's going to add a lot to your career.
Yes, stern internal monologues were had with myself where I can definitely see the value in what we're doing. So I guess we'll keep doing it and hopefully it goes well.
Yes. So I suppose when we have another podcast in a year or so, we can touch base again. I mean, like about this.
The next one.
About this topic, maybe. but I tell you what, I can't do it again. So hopefully we pass because I can't imagine giving up all this time with kids and stuff again. So... that's why we have to work so hard. It's not happening again.
There you go. On that note, we're going to stop the podcast and go study. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Bark Up the Right Tree.
Woof.
Woof.